Welcome to the Vitality Radio Podcast, your source for the truth about health, wellness, and real alternatives to drugs, surgeries, and the status quo of healthcare. Here, you'll find information that empowers you to take control of your health. But it's not just about health and wellness. It's about the politics of healthcare and protecting your health freedom. Now, here's your host, Jared St. Clair.
Welcome to Vitality Radio, the podcast where we help you master natural supplements, enhance emotional vitality, and thrive without pharma drugs. Today's episode is going to be a good one. I did an episode on B vitamins, the B complex, you know, vitamin B1, B2, B6, B12, and so on, just about a few weeks ago. And I had I asked for some feedback. I got a lot of feedback. I got quite a bit on Instagram. I got a lot in the Facebook listeners community. And a handful of people that came in and told me in person at Vitality Nutrition that they really would like a show like that on the other vitamins. So this is the next one. We're going to talk vitamin E today. I've already got a great vitamin C show started, almost all written. We'll do that one soon as well. We'll get into vitamin D and vitamin K also. So we're just kind of working through the letter vitamins, as I call it. And then I think we'll probably do minerals too after that. You know, we'll touch on zinc and copper and all that kind of stuff. So I've got a lot of shows prepared for you, or to prepare for you, I should say. But regardless, today's show about the power of vitamin E, we're going to talk about its topical use for prevention of scars and healing of wounds, that sort of thing. We're going to talk about the uses that it is typically taken for eye health, brain health, cardiovascular wellness. We're going to talk about the different forms of vitamin E, natural versus synthetic, and how to tell. We're going to talk about the 8 different types of vitamin E that are found in nature. Did you know there were 8 different types? We're going to talk about the 2 different halves of vitamin E, as I call it anyway, tocotrienols and tocopherols. What's the difference? Why would you take one or the other? Should you take both? Does everybody need to take vitamin E every single day? All of these types of things. I think I just said A, but I meant E. But vitamin A will be a show we'll do too. Anyway, all of these questions will be answered for you on today's episode of Vitality Radio. I think you're going to really dig it, and I hope it'll shed some light on what, interestingly enough, I will say, I've noticed over the years is a far less in-demand vitamin than it ever was. Years ago, in the early days of our store, vitamin E was one of our very best-selling supplements, and people just don't ask about it that much. Now we sell loads of vitamin D. We barely sold vitamin D back then. Loads of vitamin K. We didn't even have vitamin K on the shelf back then, I don't think, at least that I can recall. But vitamin E has, come less interesting to people, maybe, and yet it's a pretty cool vitamin. So I just want to let you know what it's all about why I think it is something you should know about. And that's what today's episode's about. And of course, like I always do, as much as possible, I'm going to give you actionable information that you can use if you choose to do something with this information. You should have the knowledge you need in terms of what type to choose, how do you know if it's a good one, and how much to take for the specific reasons you might be interested in taking it. So that's what we're going to do today. And then we'll wrap up the show with a homeopathic minute on something called borax. You've heard of borax, but maybe you don't know what it is used for in the homeopathic world. So we'll talk about that as well. So let's jump into vitamin E. Celebrated often as the skin vitamin. In fact, we've sold as much vitamin E for topical use over the years as we have for internal use, for sure. And yet it's not just a nutrient that is great for your skin. It's great for all types of health and vitality. We're going to dive deep into vitamin E and all of the different categories that we talked about and what you need to know, starting with the most common uses of vitamin E. The first thing that I think maybe most people think of outside of using it on scars, because I think that's probably the biggest thing that people know about with vitamin E, is that it is a powerful antioxidant. Now, very soon, I'm going to be delivering a big show on antioxidants. It may even be so big that it ends up being 2 shows. This has been in demand for a while. I've had a lot of people ask me to do this show. It's such a complex topic that, frankly, I just haven't wanted to take the time that I've needed to prepare that show, but it has to happen. So it is going to. I'm throwing it out there so that you'll hold my feet to the flame on this. And to be honest with you, the one person who first asked me to do a comprehensive show on antioxidants was Jen, my wife. So I guess I should at least do it for her, but she's not the only one that's asked. So don't get too caught up in the antioxidant aspect of vitamin E here, because we're going to go deep into antioxidants very, very soon. But as far as vitamin E goes, what they have found is that it doesn't take a lot of vitamin E to actually be a quite potent antioxidant. Studies have shown that vitamin E supplementation reduces oxidative damage from oxidative stress, protecting the cell membranes and the integrity of the DNA. A daily dose of just 15 to 30 milligrams or 22 to 45 IUs of vitamin E as D-alpha tocopherol is typically recommended for antioxidant support. Now, a couple of things about vitamin E that I need to get into right out of the gate. Right now, thanks to our guides, our health and nutrition guides, the benevolent and wonderful human beings at FDA, we are in a state of flux when it comes to dosage forms of the fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin E and vitamin D. You may have noticed that your vitamin D bottle says 5,000 IUs, but also says 125 micrograms, for instance. Well, for years, they've been listed as international units, which is IU. Now they're moving into micrograms. Now, I'm good with that, actually, because it's confusing. People are like, what the heck's an IU? We know what a microgram is or a milligram is, or at least we're more accustomed to that when it comes to supplements, right? But they are in flux right now, and unfortunately, it's not a one-to-one ratio. It's actually a 0.67 milligrams to one unit of vitamin E. So there's a little math, basically two-thirds to a whole on that. So in this show, because different supplements are still, some are listed still as IUs, some are listed as milligrams, and some are listed as both. On all the dosages, I'm going to give you both in case you've got a bottle of vitamin E at home and you want to know what to do with it, or you're out shopping for a bottle of vitamin E, you'll know what potency you would want to take. Now, the basic dosage of that 15 to 30 milligram or 22 to 45 IUs for antioxidant support is, that's where it starts. There are additional studies that have shown that even higher doses are very, very good. In my Ultimate Vitality Multi, because I don't consider vitamin E something that everybody should necessarily have to take a high dose of every day, I do have 50 units, so we exceed what is typically recommended for antioxidant support in the Ultimate Vitality Multi. But for much of what I'm going to talk about on Vitality Radio today in regards to vitamin E, you'll find that a higher dose than that would be needed for these other purposes. And we'll get into that, of course, well, really right now. The other big thing that people think about with vitamin E is cardiovascular support. Research suggests that vitamin E plays a vital role in cardiovascular health by preventing the oxidation of LDL cholesterol. And we do know that it's the oxidation of LDL cholesterol that is actually problematic, not the LDL cholesterol itself. So that's a big deal. That oxidation of LDL cholesterol is part of what can lead to atherosclerosis. And therefore, vitamin E is a big player in prevention of heart disease. Studies have demonstrated that daily supplementation of about 150 to 400 units, or 100 to 270 milligrams of vitamin E, may reduce the risk of coronary heart disease and stroke, particularly in individuals with pre-existing heart conditions. Immune support. This is not a common use of vitamin E, or at least a common knowledge, I don't think. Most people think in vitamins, immune is vitamin C, right? That's the big immune vitamin. But vitamin E enhances the immune function by supporting the production of antibodies and strengthening immune cell activity at the same dose, or roughly the same dose as I just told you for cardiovascular health, 150 units to 300 units a day, or 100 to 200 milligrams per day. And that's what's been shown to actually reduce the risk of severity of infections and enhance immune response. Brain health is another pretty common use for vitamin E. There's emerging research now indicating that vitamin E may safeguard cognitive function and mitigate the risk of cognitive decline, things like Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's, those types of things, which potentially send some to the White House. Studies have shown that a daily intake of 300 to 600 units or 200 to 400 milligrams of vitamin E may slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease and improve memory and cognitive function in older adults. So a little higher dose to go to the brain, and kind of interesting because omega-3 is very similar. You got to have a higher dose if you really want to get some of those brain health benefits out of it versus some of the other uses. So a little bit higher, 200 to 400 milligrams or 300 to 600 IUs there. Vision is another one that is more commonly thought about, I guess, when it comes to vitamin E. The antioxidant properties, of course, help to provide antioxidant nutrition for ocular health as well. And it is for the same reason that it helps to prevent oxidative damage and inflammation in the ocular tissue. Research suggests back to those lower doses, 22 to 45 units or 15 to 30 milligrams of vitamin E can reduce the risk of age-related macular degeneration and cataracts, preserving vision and health. So again, that dose for eye health is actually on board in many multivitamins, including the Ultimate Vitality Multi. One area that a lot of women may be very interested in that vitamin E is useful is in fighting the discomfort of menstrual cramps. What is known as primary dysmenorrhea, or PD, refers to the presence of painful menstrual cramps due to increased synthesis of prostaglandins. Vitamin E inhibits the release of arachidonic acid and its conversion to prostaglandins through its antioxidant properties. Results from a meta-analysis, which again is a study of studies, so these meta-analyses are usually very, very good because they have lots of participants. Vitamin E consumption significantly reduced PD intensity at 200 units twice per day, so a total of 400 units per day. That's going to be about 268 milligrams. And you take it 2 days prior to menstruation and the first few days of the cycle, or, of course, it can be taken daily. Also, you've heard me talk about my distaste, sort of, not literal, I guess, distaste for seed oils. I think seed oils and a lot of things that have seed oils in them taste pretty darn good, but I don't love seed oils. I think they're pretty darn bad for you and certainly inflammatory in nature, and therefore I try to avoid them and, for the most part, avoid them completely. But vitamin E, specifically alpha tocopherol, the form that the government recognizes, is recognized as a key essential lipophilic antioxidant in humans, protecting lipoproteins, polyunsaturated fatty acids, cellular and intracellular membranes from damage. The vitamin E requirement will increase if you eat a lot of PUFAs. This is going to be mostly seed oils, polyunsaturated fatty acids. And it will decrease the need of vitamin E if you're eating a limited amount of PUFAs. But avoiding seed oils is, I still think, in your best interest. But vitamin E prevents them from oxidizing in the body and therefore a very useful tool, particularly if you're just occasionally having a high PUFA meal and you're trying to kind of protect against that excess inflammation. And the dose that's needed is not particularly high. It can be 12 to 20 milligrams. So, you know, what's in the Ultimate Vitality Multi in that case can help with that problem. So now let's unpack the differences between all of the different forms, starting with natural versus synthetic. Now, this one has been probably the most common question I've had asked about vitamin E over the years is natural and synthetic equal, or are they equal to each other? Is one better than the other? Is it worth more money to pay for natural versus synthetic? Those types of questions that have arisen time and time and time again. And maybe the most pertinent question for you as a consumer of these supplements is how to tell if it's natural or synthetic, because I can promise you 100% that any synthetic vitamin E on the market is not going to say synthetic on the label. It's just going to say vitamin E. And on the back, when you look in the supplement facts panel, what you're going to see is you're either going to see D, the letter D as in dog, dash alpha, or DL, as in Larry, dog Larry, dash alpha. It is the D form that is natural. It is the D with the L that is synthetic. And that matters a lot. And let me explain why. When it comes to the supplementation of vitamin E, absolutely the natural form reigns supreme. Now, that's not necessarily the case, and I'm going to differ with some health people out there on this, but it's not necessarily the case with other vitamins. As I discussed in the Vitamin B show, some of my very favorite B vitamins are synthetic forms. In fact, most B vitamins are synthetic forms. And synthetic doesn't always mean bad. Sometimes it's just the best way to get the dose that you need because it's hard to get enough out of food in many cases. But in the case of vitamin E is found in plentiful quantities in food. Things like wheat germ, for instance, lots of different beans, nuts, legumes, things like that are loaded with vitamin E. So it's not that hard to get in nature. And the synthetic counterpart is actually made from petrochemicals. It's made from petroleum. It's a petroleum byproduct that is then converted into a fake form of vitamin E. And if you listen to people like me, or if you're a fan of Carlin Call over at Just Ingredients, you're going to know that we don't like petrochemicals in our bodies, right? We're trying to avoid things like parabens and phthalates and these types of things, endocrine disrupting chemicals. So why in the world would we put a synthetic vitamin that is a petrochemical into our bodies, or frankly on our bodies, either way? So you want to stay away from that. We know that not only is the synthetic kind of gross because it's a petrochemical, but it's not as effectively absorbed or utilized, and it is simply an inferior version of vitamin E. And I will say that generally speaking, another way that you can kind of know, for the most part, health food stores like mine and many of the other great health food stores across the country are only selling natural. I would never carry a synthetic vitamin E in my store. And frankly, most grocery stores are mostly only carrying the synthetic form. Same goes for places like Costco and that kind of thing. Now, they may have a natural over there, but I've never seen it. I've only ever seen the synthetic over there. It's cheaper, and that's what they're going for, right? Now, there's two sides to vitamin E in nature. There's what's called the tocopherol. Remember, I just said D-alpha tocopherol is the natural form. And then there's also tocotrienols, or tocotrienols, depending on if you like that spicy Mexican flavor to it. But I call them tocotrienols and tocopherols, okay? So what's the difference between these two sides of the vitamin E picture? Well, tocopherols and tocotrienols are both forms of vitamin E. In nature, they're always found together. They each have distinct chemical structures and biological properties. Tocopherols are saturated forms of vitamin E, and tocotrienols are unsaturated forms. The primary difference lies in their side chains. Tocopherols have a saturated side chain, whereas tocotrienols have an unsaturated side chain, and that is the difference. But maybe that doesn't matter so much as, well, why would we want one or the other? Both tocopherols and tocotrienols exhibit antioxidant properties and contribute to overall health. They also possess unique characteristics that may make them suitable for different health concerns. Now, towards the end of this conversation about vitamin E, I'm going to go back in to the key uses of vitamin E that we discussed earlier and then make recommendations based on the research as to which form of vitamin E may be superior when it comes to that specific condition that you may be concerned about. So I'm going to get into that and talk about doses a little bit more towards the end of the show as well. But do keep this in mind too. If you're looking on the shelf, if you're jumping on the web and going to vitalitynutrition.com and you're looking at vitamin E and you see one that says vitamin E and you see one that says vitamin E complex or vitamin E gammaplex is my favorite vitamin E actually that we sell here at Vitality. When you see that, you know that it's not just D-alpha tocopherol. And I'll explain the whole D-alpha tocopherol thing in a little bit more detail here because our government, again, in their infinite wisdom, has decided that only one of eight forms of vitamin E can actually be called vitamin E as a dietary supplement. I'm going to try not to confuse you here, but the government is doing their best to make sure we're all confused about our health. So we have the two sides. I'll go back to which side you may want But now let's talk about the eight forms within those two houses. There's four forms of tocopherols, and there's four forms, I think I just held up a five, four forms of tocotrienols, okay? It's like a frat house of vitamin E because you've got alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. Those are the forms on each side. And so we have this spectrum of vitamin E, each with distinct biological activities and health benefits. And that is important to understand, especially when I talk about this next aspect of it, because despite the rich tapestry of vitamin E's diverse forms, the United States government officially only recognizes one form, alpha tocopherol, as the only viable form of vitamin E that you can actually legally call vitamin E on a supplement facts panel. You can sell the other seven forms, but you have to list them as like other ingredients. They can't be called a vitamin. It makes absolutely no sense. In fact, it's completely nonsensical because all eight are vitamin E. But in the infinite wisdom of our government, you're welcome. A little confusing. All right. So let's get into this whole thing on the eight forms and talk a little bit about that. Because when the government decided, however many decades ago it was, that there was only one form of vitamin E that could be called vitamin E, there was a reason for it, as I understand. I haven't been able to find this specifically. This is urban legend or whatever you want to call it, but this is what I was taught as a young man growing up in a health food store, that alpha tocopherol was the vitamin E that had been studied, and so therefore it was the vitamin E that got called vitamin E. But since then, lots and lots and lots of research has happened, right, on all these things. And now we know that gamma is actually probably the best form of vitamin E, the most bioactive form. It exhibits a broader spectrum of antioxidant activity compared to alpha. While alpha tocopherol is highly effective at scavenging lipid peroxyl radicals, those free radicals that break down cells, gamma tocopherol has been shown to have additional antioxidant benefits in addition to those, particularly in neutralizing reactive nitrogen species and quenching peroxynitrite, a potent oxidant involved in inflammation and oxidative stress-related damage. So it does things that alpha doesn't do. It's almost like whoever it was that made all this stuff, you know, and put it all here on the earth for our good, almost like he knew what he was doing when he said, hey, you know what? We're going to have all these different forms. They're always going to be found in nature. So if somebody eats a food that has this vitamin E in it, they're going to get all eight. They're going to get both sides of the frat house are going to be in there. There's the tocotrienols and the tocopherols, okay? But when we isolate these things and we just use the one form, sometimes it's better in some forms of nutrition that can be better, but oftentimes we miss some really, really nice benefits. So personally, when I'm recommending vitamin E, as much as possible, if you're looking to do more than just the basic daily supplementation like you'd find in a multivitamin, I'm going to recommend that you find one that has all eight forms. So gamma tocopherol also possesses anti-inflammatory properties that are superior to alpha. It has higher level cardiovascular health benefits. They've actually shown that it inhibits platelet aggregation, reducing arterial stiffness, and improves endothelial function, all of which are important factors in preventing heart attack and stroke. It has stronger cancer-preventing benefits than D-alpha tocopherol, and actually is better at inducing apoptosis, which is the cell death of cancer cells, and it also has higher-level neuroprotective benefits. So a lot of reasons why we don't want to just settle for alpha tocopherol when we're looking at vitamin E. Now, let me clarify. Because the Ultimate Vitality Multi, which is currently the only supplement that I manufacture that has vitamin E in it, only has 50 IUs of D-alpha tocopherol. It doesn't have the other seven. The reason for that was very, very simple. Space. I get a lot of people that don't even want to take three capsules a day of my multivitamin. That is sometimes an uphill battle to get people to do. But in order to fit all of the goodness that's in that vitamin, I had to get it all wedged into three capsules. And in order to put all the forms of vitamin E, I just wasn't able to make that work. In fact, I had to make some tweaks just to get the vitamin K2 and other things in there that I wanted to add on this last go round. So for me, if you're getting a basic form of D-alpha tocopherol, you're getting a good source of vitamin E. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good stuff. If it wasn't good stuff, I wouldn't include it in my multi. And in order to legally call it vitamin E, that's the one I have to use. That's on the government, not so much on me, but it kind of is what it is, unfortunately. If I could use the same equivalent of just gamma, I would do that, but then I couldn't call it vitamin E on the label, and that would confuse people as to why in the world my multivitamin doesn't have vitamin E in it. But I can't put the gamma form and the alpha form. They take up a lot of space and make it actually work as well as I'd like to. Maybe on a new reboot of the multi down the road, we'll do that. But as it currently stands, the research on alpha tocopherol, for the reasons that I mentioned, eye health, cardiovascular help, some of these other things, at that 50 units is compelling enough to have it in a multivitamin and to sort of cover some of the bases for most people. But if you're specifically concerned about some of these other things, then I recommend A, a higher dose to begin with, and B, that you're getting the tocotrienols and the tocopherols, all eight, so that you get it as nature intended it. That's my recommendation to you, and that's my reasoning as to why all eight are not in the Ultimate Vitality Multi. So if you're taking the multi as you're and thinking, hey, I'll get my vitamin E there, for basic daily use, you are getting it there. But if you're looking at it for more therapeutic use for these other reasons, you're going to want to look elsewhere and add that into the mix. I hope that makes sense. And that's pretty much going to be the case with all multivitamins out there, because everybody's kind of stuck with the same situation as I was when I was developing mine. Now, let's go to the other side, because most of what we've talked about so far has been tocopherol, because that's where most of the research has been up until the recent last couple of decades, where tocotrienols have started to get a lot of love. And I want to specifically focus on tocotrienols for something known as the cholesterol ratio. Now, you may know, if you've listened to my show a bit, that I'm not a believer in the, I call it a cholesterol hoax or cholesterol myth, that is the lead cause of heart disease in this country. I just simply don't buy it, and we'll link to my cholesterol episode if you want to hear my opinion on it. Again, I'm not a doctor. This isn't medical advice. It's for your information only. But in my view, there's plenty of compelling evidence that cholesterol really isn't the demon that it's been made out to be. In fact, it's such a critical thing inside our body that our brains won't work without it. We can't make vitamin D without it. There's a lot of reasons why we need cholesterol. But the cholesterol ratio does matter. How much HDL versus LDL matters. And that's where tocotrienol can really, really shine. What they've shown in research is that about 100 to 300 milligrams of tocotrienols can aid in the reduction of LDL cholesterol overall. Studies have reported that reductions in LDL cholesterol with tocotrienol supplementation at dosages ranging from 1 to 300 milligrams per day is very, very effective. And a study in the Journal of Atherosclerosis and Thrombosis found that supplementation of 200 milligrams of tocotrienol per day for 4 weeks led to a significant reduction in LDL cholesterol levels. You can also see the HDL cholesterol increase, and that's how that ratio thing improves. Tocotrienol supplementation has been shown to increase HDL at that 100 to 300 milligrams per day. One study in the Nutrition Journal reported that supplementation with 120 milligrams of tocotrienol per day for 6 months resulted in a significant increase in HDL cholesterol levels. If you can bring down your LDLs a little bit, bring up your HDLs a little bit, or a lot in this case, then you can enhance that ratio, and that ratio does matter in my view. The overall profile just simply improves in the presence of a good dose of tocotrienol forms of vitamin E. So keep that in mind if you're specifically fighting that battle. Because if you are looking at your cholesterol numbers and your HDL is on the low side, the first thing that I always recommend for that, because it's great for you in 100 different ways like we've talked about, it's super preventative of a lot of things, and it probably can influence that in a positive way, is simply tocotrienols, and that's what I typically recommend there. So how about the topical use of vitamin E? We know that it's very nourishing to the skin. You'll see lots of body care products, hair care products, all kinds of products that have vitamin E in them. But you can also use vitamin E on its own. Vitamin E liquid on its own is very sticky. It's barely a liquid. It's not like glue, but very thick, very viscous. And so most cases, you're going to find a bottle of vitamin E that has a little bit of something else in it, olive oil, safflower oil, something like that. And I think that's fine for topical use. And so that's how most people are using vitamin E. You can get the pure stuff in an oil form. It's a little hard to find. Or you can prick the capsule, your soft gel capsule, and you can squirt it out. A lot of people have done that over the years as well. But when you're using it topically, what they found is that it's moisturizing and has some of the same properties on the skin as it has inside the body, which makes sense. It's a powerful antioxidant, so it can aid in reducing wrinkles and skin damage, things like that. And what they have found specifically is that it has very powerful moisturizing and skin healing benefits. It has a potential to hydrate the skin better than many oils. And when it's applied to scars as just vitamin E oil, it helps to soften the skin and improve the overall appearance over time. The antioxidant benefits also help with any of the skin damage caused by free radicals, including things like age spots. And it reduces inflammation, which can actually help speed the healing of scarring or of wounds to the skin. Generally speaking, you're waiting till the skin is closed up or stitched up or whatever, but then you're putting the vitamin E oil on after that to help minimize scarring. So those are the basics on vitamin E. I hope that's been useful for you and covers the bases pretty well. If there are more questions that you have on vitamin E, I'd love to hear them. But again, vitamin E is not in my Vital 5, although it is in the Ultimate Vitality Multi, which is one of my Vital 5. Because the multi, to a large degree, is designed to just kind of fill many of the gaps, just like what I talked on the B-complex. For many people, you're going to get plenty of the B-complex in the multi. For some people, under higher stress, you may want to take an individual B-complex or individual B-vitamins for specific needs. Same thing with vitamin E. What I hope to get across with these episodes of Vitality Radio is enough information that you can make an informed decision on, does it make sense for you to take this particular supplement? Frankly, for most of you at this point, right now, during this show, if you've listened to all this, I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of you say, no, I'm probably getting enough in my multivitamin if you're taking one. Now, if you're not taking a multivitamin and you're not taking vitamin E, I think you do need to get a little bit of vitamin E every day, which is why it is in the Ultimate Vitality Multi, but I don't think that necessarily everybody needs to take it on a daily basis. Beyond that, if you are concerned about cardiovascular wellness, if you are concerned about some of these other things, you may want to consider adding a little vitamin E to your regimen. Okay, so that's it for vitamin E. Like I said, I would love to have feedback. I'd love to know if that was helpful. It's a little confusing with the tocopherols and the tocotrienols and the alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and the natural versus the synthetic, and I hope I cleared all that up for you as much as I possibly could. Now, let's move on to the homeopathic minute, and we're going to talk about something called borax. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about the stuff you add to your laundry, but it is made from that same mineral compound, sodium borate, and it's believed to have several potential benefits. Now, the most common benefits of borax as a homeopathic remedy in the little pellets that we talk about, and we'll link to the homeopathic show that I did with my friend Guillaume from Olois, which I think makes the best homeopathic remedies in the world. Borax is available in a 30C and a 200 CK dose. And depending on what you're using it for, you may want one or the other. So first use that's very common is oral health. One of the most common ways that homeopathic borax is used, mouth ulcers, canker sores, sensitive gums, these types of things. May also be used for thrush, which I didn't realize. So along with probiotics, colloidal silver, borax could be a very useful antifungal in the mouth. Potency that would be used for acute oral health issues would be the 30C potency. And you would use 3 to 5 pellets of borax every 2 to 4 hours until symptoms improve. And of course, with those little pellets that taste just like sugar, you just let them roll around underneath your tongue until they're fully dissolved. skin conditions that can be used, that borax can be used for, are eczema, dermatitis, and allergic skin reactions with itching or burning sensations. The potency there for skin conditions could be both 30C and 200CK, depending on the severity and the chronicity of the condition. If it's an acute thing that's just popped up, generally the 30C would be the better thing. If it's something that's been going on for a while, I would typically recommend the 200CK, or you can alternate them every couple of hours. The dose, same thing, 3 to 5 pellets. And you can do that, more than once a day, generally every few hours. And if you want to alternate, you could do 30C and then a couple hours later do 200CK and then, back and forth. Digestive issues are another reason that people use it, specifically indigestion, reflux, gastritis, and especially if symptoms worsen with certain foods or drinks. The potency there is commonly used is the 30C. Again, for acute things. And that's kind of how you look at homeopathy too. You're going to use the lower dose, or what seems like the lower dose, the 30C for the acute problem, the thing that's happening right now, the 200CK for more of a chronic type of a condition. You're going to use 3 to 5 pellets every 2 to 4 hours for acute symptoms. And for chronic symptoms, if you're using the 200CK, you'd use 3 to 5 pellets twice a day. Respiratory problems. Borax is occasionally recommended for respiratory issues such as dry coughs, sore throats, and laryngitis, especially, though, if those symptoms worsen with cold air or inhaling cold drinks. Now, I read this from the internet. I don't suggest inhaling cold drinks. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's a bad idea. Cold drinks should go down your throat, not into your lungs, so just keep that in mind. But if your laryngitis is enhanced or made worse by inhaling your cold drink, that's probably more because you inhaled the cold drink. I should have proofread that particular thing before the show, but sometimes copy and paste does that to me. All right, so how do we use it, though, for these? And I want to be clear, too, actually, now that I said that, and it is kind of funny. But with homeopathy, because homeopathy is regulated as a drug in America, it's not a pharma drug, thank goodness, but it is regulated as a drug in America. I have to be very precise with how I say some of the things that I say about it. I have to basically stay within the realms of the claims that are legal to be made on the show. And so I will copy and paste from different written text specific to homeopathy to make sure that I get it right. So in this case, I did copy and paste, thought I had it right, and they said, if you inhale cold drinks, you might get worse sore throats. So anyway, for what it's worth, much of what the homeopathic minutes are is me picking from what I think are the best resources out there online or in the Materia Medica books that are all about homeopathy and putting that together for your use. So there you go. As far as dosage, if you're having problems with the sore throat, the dry coughs, with inhaling cold air or drinking cold drinks, then you're going to use 30C for the acute symptoms. Again, 200CK for the more chronic symptoms. About every 2 to 4 hours, 3 to 5 pellets. Ear infections. Borax is sometimes indicated for ear infections, especially if the pain is sharp and worsens with swallowing. The potency there would always be the 30C, and about every 2 to 4 hours, 3 to 5 pellets until symptoms improve. And the last thing that borax is sometimes used for is actually on the emotional side of things. It can be used for issues such as anxiety, fear, agitation, particularly when triggered by sudden loud noises or anticipation of danger. This is especially good for people who are easily startled by loud noises, interestingly enough. Borax 30C and 200CK potencies can be used depending on if this is more recent, like acute anxiety or fear, or more of a chronic fear or anxiety about something. The 30C for the acute, the 200CK for the chronic. And again, it's going to be 3 to 5 pellets in the mouth, at least twice daily, more as needed. Okay, so there's your homeopathic minute on borax. This is homeopathic borax, not the white powder that you might dump into your laundry machine as a natural cleaner. So just keep that in mind, okay? And I hope that this show has been useful for you. We've talked homeopathy. We've talked vitamin E. I've never talked about borax homeopathic on my show before, and I've never done a show on vitamin E, and I've done 2,500 of these things over the years. So it's about time. If you like what you hear, go tell somebody about Vitality Radio. Do it on social media. We'd love to for you to use the hashtag Vitality Radio Podcast or at Vitality Radio, at Vitality Nutrition, Bountiful, any of those places. We'd love to get the word out about this show. If you found it useful for you and your family, perhaps your friends and family would find it useful as well. In the meantime, if you have questions, call us 801-292-6662 or jump online at vitalitynutrition.com. You can ask questions in our chat there. You can browse around. And in the show description, there are links to all the things that we've talked about today. And we'd love for you to check all that out as well. Thank you so much for listening to me. My name is Jared St. Clair, and this has been Vitality Radio. Before I forget, I want to remind you that Be Healthy Utah is coming up. It's April 19th and 20th. If you're not in Utah, that's okay. You can still kind of virtually attend. It's not streaming, but they will send you the recordings if you're interested of about 40 different speakers, including myself, Carlin Call, many other excellent speakers talking about, all things health, wellness, nutrition, cutting edge stuff, great stuff. I love this event. Now, if you're in Utah, you can come in person. It's at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy on Friday the 19th of April and Saturday the 20th of April. It's a most of the day event, both days. All that information is at BeHealthyUtah.com. You can get 40% off if you use the code Vitality40 for your in-person tickets, two-day tickets, which are only $37 to begin with, so it's like $22 with the 40% off. Total no-brainer. If you can be there that weekend, I highly recommend it. But just for the speakers, just for one or two of the speakers, to pay $22 is well worth it. 2 to 3 weeks after the event, you'll have access to all of those talks, all of which are worth hearing for sure. I've listened to many of these speakers before myself and highly recommend it. Vitality40 is the code at BeHealthyUtah.com. April 19th and 20th is the big event. If you decide to come, I'd love for you to stop at my booth and shake my hand, introduce yourself if we haven't met before, reintroduce yourself if we have. And of course, I'd love to have you hear me speak, which happens on Saturday the 20th at 3 p.m. So that's it. BeHealthyUtah.com.
You've been listening to the Vitality Radio Podcast. Enjoy your week. In the meantime, Jared will be feverishly searching for the latest nutrition info to educate you on and wading into mounds of propaganda to help steer you through it. Vitality Radio is researched and written by Jared St. Clair. Our awesome music is by Brian Bob Young. Support Vitality Radio by subscribing and giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or your favorite podcast source. Don't forget to follow us at Vitality Radio on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Please let us know your thoughts about this episode by using the hashtag Vitality Radio Podcast. And if you like what you hear, go tell somebody with a share, a screenshot, or an airdrop. Thank you.